And we are back with another episode, or another part of an episode, of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr. AKA Super357, best known as Prince Godbody. And now we got
the guy, King Hoopla.
Yes, and sir. The second part is being worked on still. Goddamn, man. Take a breath. Take a breath a little.
Your, what do we call it? Flavor text.
Flavor text.
Your flavor text is still 2 weeks in a row. Still haven't got your flavor text right, so you better work on that one.
Yeah, yeah. It'll get there.
Yeah, it definitely will get there. That's for sure. You've been following the news about Versus, correct?
Yeah, Triller and Swiss versus Triller versus Swiss Beats and Timbaland.
Yeah, so apparently Swiss Beats and Timbaland are suing Triller over Versus for $28 million, claiming they didn't get the payment they were promised. Essentially, Triller rebutted, saying that they received a bigger payment.
Yeah, like 50 million.
Yeah, a big payment up front, and the rest is to trickle down or what have you. But the big thing about all this is you would think that.
Oh, and Triller also said they didn't come back with enough money.
So they're acknowledging that they haven't paid up.
Yeah.
You would think that.
No, that Swiss Beats and Timbaland had owed Triller money.
For, putting on the...
Yeah.
Okay, so they're trying to say that they're offsetting the cost.
Mm-hmm.
My thing about all of this is, with Versus being a dying platform, as it is, and at the point they had sold it to Triller, it was a dying platform.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that with them having as much experience as they do in the game, that they would have this sort of thing figured out.
No.
Why not?
Because Triller was a phone app at first. Was a
social media app.
Yeah, was trying to be what TikTok was for a moment, and then had just gotten to this Versus game as the pandemic happened.
So you're saying it's more of a new lane of business where nobody knew
exactly
what was going on.
Yeah, for a fact. Because you gotta think, if they're paying all this money to these fighters, you know what I'm saying, to the boxers.
Uh-huh.
Having all these big payouts and stuff like that. And most of the view count is to offset that. You know what I'm saying? All the hype generated behind that. And for them to pick up Versus and try to tie those in with fights. And that not even work out.
So, but yeah, it's just too... It's Versus.
They took on too much than they could handle.
On Triller and Versus?
Yeah,
Triller. Both hands?
Yeah, Triller and Versus. Because Versus at its beginning was... better than what it had become. When it was just niggas.
In its genesis, it was better than anybody would have thought Triller, or not Triller, Versus could have ever been.
Yeah.
But my thing is, we knew that. So when they got to the point they sold it, which to me seemingly was at the downcline, you know what I'm saying?
The decline.
The decline, the slope of that productivity or that financial, you know what I'm saying, marketability.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't they have why wouldn't they have gotten the money for this shit up front? Because they're not involved for it. So, I mean, but that's how business goes.
Yeah.
That's me not having enough money to understand
how business goes. Yeah, plus you got to think.
Or not factoring in how business
goes.
And you got to think,
that amount of money isn't something that can just be transferred over that quick. Like, you know what I'm saying? I believe all business transactions take time.
But in order for them to be suing them, in order for them to be suing them, that's what makes me
Pandit
has been floundering for a year.
I mean, it just
Jadakiss versus
just been
happened a year.
It just been
happened a year ago, and that was when we thought Versus was dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the last hurrah, essentially, for Versus.
But what has been the criteria for a Versus? We don't know what the criteria for a Versus was, though. I'm talking about for in the business wise, it's for it to clear off things. Like, was it a view count?
Because a lot of people said they were getting checks, and a lot of people said they weren't getting checks.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're right about that. With this being so social media driven, what metrics do you account for when distributing money?
Exactly.
Because other than what you get from the stream push,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing you can really say to guarantee somebody money, like, as besides the ticket sales.
Exactly.
Because what if you sell all the tickets and nobody watches?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. Cypress Hill did one.
Yeah,
Cypress
exactly.
Hill and EMPD.
Uh-huh. And goddamn.
Or EPMD. My bad. I say EMPD.
Yeah, they did. Exactly.
Yeah, EPMD.
And exactly.
Nobody watched.
I didn't watch.
Two legendary hip hop groups.
Two legendary hip hop groups. Yeah. Think about the Big Daddy Kane and KRS-One one. That one would have been a very more
right when people were shut in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one would have been a prime one.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're very right.
You would have wanted to have. You would personally wouldn't have. You would have had Kim and Kane.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's marketability and profitability. It's mutual.
Yeah, because they because they also didn't know how to market. They didn't know who to get. Because that was a big question after everybody. You know what I'm saying? Because then everybody wanted bigger names.
Yeah.
The big names that you
But you can't really.
You can't.
And when you're paying people up front, like, yeah, you're taking a loss. So then you go to a platform so you get the money to pay people up front.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, I can see where this gets murky.
Yeah.
Now that we kind of talked this out. But I'm just hoping they get that shit figured out.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. It could have just been. It could have been its own surviving, dying ship.
What's that? Versus?
Yeah.
I mean, it is still its own. Like, Versus is still cemented in history.
Oh, no.
The concept of what they did.
I mean, yeah.
And how they presented it is still, you know what I'm saying?
Do you think
it's still
it would've worked,
in history.
Do you think it would have worked as well without the pandemic?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It would not have worked at all without the pandemic.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That that concept does not work without the pandemic. Especially in this day and age when people would automatically beg to see it in concert.
Yeah, or the artists complain about money. Up front. Like, and it, like you said, the Genesis.
Yeah.
See, at the beginning,
yeah,
niggas,
the money,
niggas
yeah.
was not getting paid.
So you gonna get
shit.
Me to sit on live? Like, what are those streams worth? Mm-hmm. What is a stream worth? Shout out to Joe Budden.
Yeah.
What the fuck is a stream worth?
What is a stream
and
worth?
That, yeah, exactly. And that's really what it comes down to. What's a stream? What's a view worth? And how do you monopolize that to make money? You know what I'm saying?
Shit, damn. I mean, shit.
But you got Diddy and JD who said they're going to do a versus type thing.
Non-versus.
But they just called it hit for hit.
Yeah,
you know, with the what we just talked about
yeah.
with versus going through all that financial, you know, legal troubles right now.
I'm about to say.
It's kind of crazy that the versus that everybody asked for spawned out of this. They
yeah.
called it just hit for hit.
Yeah.
They said it's not a versus. It's not a competition.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing on that level.
You see?
But it is a hit for hit where they would do the same thing as a versus. My question is, between JD and Puff, Diddy, who do you have?
I got Puff.
How?
I told you. Because, you know, Puff.
JD's writing. JD's production and writing catalog alone, to me, blows Puff out of the water. Puff was in those rooms, but JD was those rooms.
Puff discovered some of those artists too, just as well.
So did JD.
I can't say. The thing
he
about
made
it,
Chris Cross.
I can't. Like, he made Biggie.
Look at Ludacris, not without JD.
Mace.
So Def, Bow Wow.
Mary J.
I know I got another one.
Faith Evans.
One. Hold on, let me
Lil Kim. Julia Mafia. All
right, which one? Which y'all? Okay.
Craig Mack.
Lil Kim.
Jodeci.
Lil Kim and Biggie. Lil Kim, Biggie, and Jodeci. Who else you had said that he didn't rape for their money?
we're not talking about nobody money. We're, not,
yeah,
we're
exactly.
talking about hit for hit.
About,
we're okay. talking about hit. We're not talking about business dealings. We're not talking about who has the businessman.
I think in Atlanta, Diddy setting himself up with this one, though.
He still got Usher, too.
Diddy, Jermaine Dupri has Usher.
Usher's first album was Bad
Jermaine
Boy.
Jermaine Dupri.
First album was Bad Boy.
But I thought it was wrote by Jermaine Dupri.
Then who do we give
still,
it to?
He still wrote it and produced it.
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, JD.
I mean, I feel you on that, but then that's when it gets tricky right there.
That's what I'm saying.
That's when it gets tricky.
Jermaine Dupri, God, you're not going to take
that's
nothing away from that man.
You can't take nothing away from
Welcome
Puffy.
To Atlanta where the players play. This month, bro, I'm not
The Locks.
Immature, TLC, Chris
Cross. I did that earlier.
Run DMC,
did that at work. I have
Escape,
it already.
Bobby
work.
Brown. Come on. It's Mariah Carey, El DeBarge.
Oh
his
God.
Track record is way more star-studded than Puff's is.
Golly.
Puff might have made some stars, but he didn't have the gusto just off GP on his talent to be like JD. Nah, you're
the
not
ear.
Gonna sit up
the
here.
Ear.
No, fuck the ear and shit like the hands and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, JD got it. I don't know. I think that especially putting it in Atlanta, that Puff setting himself up for the okie doke.
Well, yeah, that's crazy. But I still got Puff.
How? I mean, I know how, but
I just told you how. I just told you how.
What do you mean? Like, JD has such a deep, catalog. He has such a way longer spanning catalog than Puff does as far as hits and involvement with hits that I don't think it's a real competition. Mm. Puff really only was going crazy in the 90s for real, late 90s. Mid to late 90s.
Mm. Nas, too. Even though that album sucked. Still got a hit off that jank, too.
You up here talking about hits.
That's what we just talking about, right?
But you're mentioning Nas when we're talking about hits.
I know, right?
Come on, man.
All About the Benjamins.
That's
not a hit.
That's not Nas.
No, I just switched it up, but it's Bad Boy.
I know it's a hit, but JD still has those.
Yeah. I'm just saying Puff got them too.
I think you just might be a little bit more familiar with Puff. It's all it is for real.
No, I'm not going to say that because when I looked at Jermaine Dupri's jank earlier, like when I made the initial comment.
Yeah.
When you had said do the research, I looked it up and I was like, God damn, Jermaine Dupri got that shit too.
He has a track record.
He has a track record too.
So what are you going to say?
I just said Puff, the way you said JD. He's the way you going to question me.
Yeah, he's smoking dick, bro. Not, in my opinion, we're going to see.
We can agree and disagree.
You think they're actually going to do it?
I don't know.
Yes or no? You get a yes or no question?
Yeah, they got enough money not to care about the money.
Yeah, but you think they're going to do it? Yeah. You think they're going to take the time out of their day to do it?
Hell yeah. They obviously ain't got shit else to do if they on live talking about this and R. Kelly.
Fair enough.
Yeah. They talk about how R. Kelly was the last, was like the gap for music that you can't play at the club for some reason. I don't really get it. It was just some old heads talking about R. Kelly.
Understandable, I guess.
If you've been around old heads and they talking about R. Kelly, it's going to sound similar to those conversations.
To what they were saying.
Yeah, if they're talking about his music.
Yeah. Speaking of R. Kelly and sex, I guess that bridges us into sexual inappropriation.
Yeah.
It was
That's not funny.
That was not a great segue, though.
I guess so.
Deshaun Watson, it's official now. They finally ruled on his situation. He will be serving an 11-game suspension.
Yeah.
And have to pay a $5 million fine.
Which is light, which is like $5.
Yeah, to
with
him.
With that contract.
It's only 10% of one of his years. One of the years of his contract. So he's just tithing to the NFL.
10% of 25%. Now, I don't even know the percentage of his contract. But he's guaranteed.
He'll be making like $50 million a year.
Exactly.
Yeah, like next year. So that's what, like I said, 10% of his contract. And like I said, like we've said before, the NFL is such an, when it comes to punishment, it's so arbitrary, you can't even like, there's no merit to it.
Because first of all, it doesn't even make sense for them. Because after a while, well, actually, I understand it's good that they gave him 11 games. I agree on that. But it doesn't
you don't
make
think he should have got more than 11 games?
Oh, yeah.
For 26 sexual, like, harassment allegations?
But this is when we come back. As soon as I make my statement about this is when it becomes arbitrary. Because then I'm going to start throwing out other NFL cases to where nothing happened when they actually did something.
That's against what I'm saying, the law. Exactly.
There's no statute of limitations.
No, there's no precedent.
Yeah, there's no precedent.
You mean there's no precedent. Yeah. Statute of limitations.
I know what it means.
There's no precedent in the NFL, so everything's arbitrary. Meaning, if you make enough money in the NFL, they're going to make sure you're protected.
That's
Henry
facts.
Ruggs didn't make enough money to be protected.
Yeah. Oh, hell no.
Ray Lewis made enough money to be protected.
Yeah, his jersey sold. It depends on how well your jerseys are selling.
Something like that, yeah. Like
the Ben Roethlisberger.
Yup, hey. Ben Roethlisberger is one of the best examples. That man caught multiple rape charges, or no rape allegations, throughout his career with no type of repercussions. Got in a motorcycle accident outside of his contractual like structure. No real repercussions. It's all arbitrary. No matter if you're selling jerseys, selling tickets.
Doing psychedelics. Hey.
Who was doing psychedelics?
You didn't hear about Aaron Rodgers doing psychedelics?
Oh, I'm not going to fault nobody for doing psychedelics.
I know that, but during a game, though?
He said he was high during the game?
Apparently, yeah.
I thought he said he just got hot and like.
Oh no,
nah,
I don't
mind.
Think he was during the game, man.
Yeah, I was. Now he, now he's just putting false shit on the man's jacket.
If he did though, that'd be tough.
Nah, you know.
If he did though, that'd be tough.
If you played a game on shrooms and you didn't throw up, you are the god. You are god.
I mean, Doc Ellis did it.
He did it on acid.
Psychedelics.
Acid and shrooms are different.
But they're still categorized psychedelics.
Xanax and alcohol are both depressants.
So under the right circumstances, you will be depressed.
No, I'm saying like, just because they're the same thing doesn't mean they give the same effects.
Oh yeah, that's true indeed. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Even though, yeah, I've taken shrooms, I've never taken LSD, so I definitely can't.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
yeah,
got you. Know what I'm saying? I don't know about all that.
Yeah, two way.
I don't really plan on taking LSD no time soon.
Why not, man?
Because I don't got the time for it.
You can just need a day. A day or two.
I don't got the time for it. A day I'm only going to have 3 days to myself from now on, so.
Just take a day or two of those and you'll be straight.
No.
He'll be good, man.
This shit I got to do.
Man, you know what's sad?
What is
sad? Young Thug's going to have to take it. I got to find a different way to intro. This is funny every time. Young Thug is going to enjoy every day by himself from now on. Thug and Gunna went to a bond hearing again for the third bond hearing in their trial. And from what it looks like, neither one of them will be getting out. They won't be getting out at least until January when the trial begins. Mm-hmm. And that's only the trial beginning, so that doesn't mean they're going to get out at all. They have moved Woody to supposedly to protective custody as well as his family, mm-hmm. In accordance to all that shit leaking on social media.
Yeah.
And people like, kind of like us, kind of spreading that information. But,
yeah.
Man, if we say this every week, we've said this every time some news has popped up about this. They have such transparent evidence on everything that's going on with this that this should just tell you to stay the fuck out the streets.
Yeah, facts. Because ain't shit going on for you, especially in Atlanta. If you claim to a gang, a set, or something tied to somebody with some bodies,
you're done.
It's best not to be tied to them no more. Skip town, do whatever you got to do. Rip up your social security card, some shit like that. Even though I don't think that works.
Because even we were on the train that if anybody did get out of this situation, it would be Gunna.
Yeah.
And they're holding him too.
Yeah, they are. They're just making, they're going to make an example. They're about to make an example. I think we said.
Oh, yeah, they will. See, in a RICO, if you're the head member, which is they've identified Thug as over and over, and you're not going to get out no matter what.
And in this, because it's a high profile case, too.
Oh,
it's a major, like, and that's the thing, though. It's
because, only this high profile because murders are involved, not drugs.
No, that's and I'm talking about the person involved, too, the celebrity involved, too.
What do you mean?
Because you got to think, like, the cases, a RICO case is big, it's going to be big anytime because it's a crime.
A RICO
it's
case.
Crime, yes, a RICO case.
It's, you know, a large scale,
yeah, it's
organization
a large scale,
coming,
yeah,
down.
And, but, in this case, it's a rapper.
Yeah.
A high profile.
One of the biggest rappers.
Yeah, Grammy Award, Grammy Award winning rapper.
Yeah, so.
You know what I'm saying? From one of the biggest music meccas in the past 20
years.
At
the years. Very least, nationally recognizable.
Mm-hmm, Atlanta. So, this is a high profile case.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Because you got to think, the only time a rapper's ever been RICO'd, and it's not even a rapper, was BMF.
No, Casanova got
RICO'd. Casanova, I'm about to say,
Tekashi got RICO'd.
Yeah.
YFN got RICO'd.
Yeah,
a lot. Most rappers now are getting RICO'd. We literally had an episode about this.
We did have an episode about this. Damn. I don't know how my mind went blank like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. But as big as this, though. Well, I don't know. Well, yeah.
No, it's,
this
not
one
been, it's not been one as big as this. You're right about that. It's
not
been
one
as
big
as
this.
Yeah. It's not. It has not.
Because Tekashi Jane wasn't. Tekashi Jane wasn't. It wasn't zoomed in on the RICO case. It was zoomed in on the fact that he was snitching.
Yup, exactly.
YF and Lucci's not big enough. Who else did we say? Casanova.
Wasn't big enough. But
big
it was,
enough.
Oh, Bobby Shmurda. He got RICO.
He did get RICO, but it wasn't big enough only because he had a song that told everything.
But it was big because he did the 7.
I don't.
Man, this man split the 7.
Yeah, they did split the 7. That's tough.
That was what that it was.
Tough.
You know what I'm saying?
That was real, though.
They caught the RICO
did,
and split the 7.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, who else said? You said someone else too.
Casanova, Tekashi.
That's not about it.
Blue Da Vinci, the rapper, and BMF did not actually get caught in that RICO too, by the way.
They did it?
No, Blue Da Vinci did not.
I know the Blue Da Vinci did.
That was the rapper. Yeah. And Jeezy.
Yeah. Well, Jeezy definitely ain't caught, though. Yeah. But the RICO worked, though.
RICO's always work.
Yeah.
You watch The Wire?
I watch The Wire. I watch.
You watch The Wire?
I watch multiple mob documentaries, too.
You watch Sopranos?
Sopranos. Well, yeah. That RICO didn't work, though.
Yeah, it did.
It did on who?
Everybody. That's why they start cracking and killing each other. Remember, after, once they get him at John, once Tony runs away at Johnny Sack's house,
yeah,
it becomes the pressure of the RICO. Remember they had his house bugged?
Yeah, that was like the first, second season.
Nah, it's like when third it's serious season. Bugged. That's when he takes Bobby, because I don't know Paulie down there, when he thinks Paulie is a snitch.
Well, he is.
Oh, that is like second season. That's second season. I've watched that show so much that I mix that up. Yeah, because
one thing about I realized about that show, they only focus on the cops interfering with their process.
No, Detective Harris is there the entire time.
Outside of him talking to the cop all the time at the salami shop.
Why he's in therapy. He's paranoid.
Well, and he's just a stressed out.
Because he's a snitch. At the end of it, he is a legitimate snitch.
Who?
Tony is legitimately snitching.
He does start snitching.
Tony legitimately starts snitching at the end of the show.
He does, though. That is true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, RICO's work. And with that, we'll be back with more of this episode of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. Nate, you want to give your outro?
We'll be back. Because it's only one part. So what's the point of the outro?
Well, it's not one part. This is the first part of the multi.
Yeah, it's only this is not one part. Yeah, this is only the first part. So we'll see you on the second part. Catch us at Simple Math.
Fade in the hand, none to drink. Peace.
Yes, sir.
And we are back with another part of another episode of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr., a.k.a. Superall357, best known as Prince Godbody. And right now, I'm joined by
Noah, a.k.a. Marks, on all platforms.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you don't know, this is my brother of sorts, of blood sorts. So this is my brother. He joined me today so graciously to help me out with some topics I may not be the best, you know, may not be the most expert on. And today we're going to be starting off talking with Noah about this Quando Rondo shooting. And if you're unfamiliar, rapper Quando Rondo, who is probably most famously associated with the murder of King Von, recently he seemingly was the target of an assassination attempt himself. Quando Rondo, while riding in an SUV with a friend, was the target of a hop-out assassination attempt where three gunmen hopped out at a gas station, fired upon the vehicle. Presumably, he was the target, but the ending was that his friend, Lil Pablo, was the one that got killed. And there seems to be no motive behind this, seemingly. What do you think this is all about?
What do you think it's all about? Everybody will know what it's all about.
I mean, you can say the sliding for Von thing, but a lot of it, the internet is saying, too, that this is not associated with this. This is a problem he has with L.A. Crips.
No.
This is a problem. They're widely citing this as him having, because it was... Presumably, the people that have been taking credit for it on the internet have been L.A. Hoovers.
Yeah, but that's always going to be the case. It's literally escape. I mean, I'm not about to say you're telling the man, but that's just brain dead common sense. Like, of course they're going to say that. Like, literally, you have to think, bro. Dirk is literally smoking hot right now, smoking hot. Just like in terms of attention in totality.
I kind of battled that point. I think Dirk he was smoking hot last year, but I think if anything, the smoke we're seeing from Dirk is the smoke you see after the gun's already let off. You know what I'm saying? It's after the fact. Because Dirk released that same album 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, but then he just dropped Fuck Your Cousin, which is hot.
But is it on the album?
It doesn't matter. It's hot.
Jordan, you know,
he's hot.
And when you're hot, you have to, like, hot mainstream. Like, the way that Lil Baby is hot mainstream now is that's legitimate hot. And Dirk right now, with him saying that this is all cap, this is not real, he's trying to get to that Lil Baby type of hot. So I don't think he necessarily would even, at this point, try to touch Quando. And you know what I'm saying? I understand with like the underlying beef and all that deals with.
Mm-hmm.
But with the position he's in right now, the smartest thing is to lay low till you get to that Lil Baby position where it's almost undeniable that you could have had anything to do for that. Do about that.
All right. The thing about that is you got to realize that Dirk is commercial. He can be commercial, but at the end of the day, he still represents himself as the voice of the streets, quote unquote. So he's always going to have, like, his base, his core of what he's going to build his hype off of is always going to be a street base, something street based. And that's what I'm saying. He's not going to come up to you with a hit with Adam Levine off the gate. No, he's going to build off of some Chicago shit. And then on top of the Chicago shit, he's going to dish out to the public.
But he did the Morgan Wallen track. The Morgan Wallen track, after Morgan Wallen said the N-word on camera, you know, white people love that song. Like, I see that in a lot of white people that think they love country and hip-hop love that song. So he's done that. He's outreached. And like 50 Cent, his entire thing was built on street, but he still did Candy Shop, and he still did Ski Mask Way on the same album. So you can do the hip-hop, and the street gangster shit without necessarily being street gangster or having to do street gangster shit anymore. You can make it all a reflection on your past life. That's what the whole all this shit is cap, it is not real. That's literally what that's about.
So you're telling me that that's about what though? What?
The all this shit is cap, it's not real is to an extent he's being legitimate. We take it at like he's playing it up to us, to the audience, in the way that
that is more than what it is.
Yeah, that this shit is real. I'm just covering my but that like he's. And legitimacy,
I see what you're saying. He's leading on.
That shit is cap. It's not real. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, even with the losses he suffered and the way that he suffered them, I don't think that the position he's in nor the connection he has to the people he has and the positions he can put himself in, that he would even necessarily risk putting himself in that, especially when the internet drives all the narratives anyways, and you're seeing all these rappers getting locked up on RICOs.
Okay, and I definitely feel you on that. But one thing about it is, and maybe I watch too much YouTube, it's too convicting for you to say like it's cap. Like for instance, the FBG Duck murder, he's blatantly bragging about it. And for you to say that, well, he's bragging about it because he has no true connections to it.
I know, I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. But when the FBG Duck situation happened, Dirk was not selling out arenas. Dirk wasn't on Kanye albums. Dirk wasn't the voice of the streets then. Dirk was still somebody. Yes, Dirk has been somebody for 10 years. That's a common misconception people forget. Like, Dirk is somebody we grew up with. Dirk is not a new rapper for the kids necessarily.
Okay.
Dirk is a rapper we grew up with.
So you said to say what?
His street shit is still to an extent behind him and freshly behind him. When he recorded that shit, he might have, like with the FBG Duck, when he was making fun of all that situations, before he was putting the disclaimer of this shit is cap, it's just not real.
Yeah.
He that shit won't cap, it was all real. You know what I'm saying? But he got, like I know what you're saying, he built his fan base on that, but that just because you build your fan base on that doesn't mean you carried into that. 50 Cent got shot 9 times, he didn't have to get shot every year to maintain the fact that he was hard as bricks. Pause.
Okay, yeah, but 50 Cent and Dirk are two different things. It's not as
50 had real beef out there too.
50 did, but 50, I don't think that it's in the. And this is just off of, you know what I'm saying? What
speculation,
you see, speculation, what you see on the
internet.
Yeah,
we're just making this shit up.
Yeah, what you see on the internet and shit like that. But just strictly what you see off the internet, I think that it's just it's too. like in reality, like there are things that Kevon is dead in reality.
Yeah.
So it's not cap. It's literally like Whoa. what I'm saying is I don't think that he's boosting something that's not there.
In these situations, he is. Because for him to get like direct get back or directly slide back for Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
that's too obvious. Like, he is still in the national eye. He still has not completely cleared that fucking shooting case into that store that him and Vaughn caught. Vaughn is still in a legal situation where he could probably still go to jail if his lawyers don't keep biding that time.
Yeah, that's anybody. But I'm just saying, that's the era of hip hop that we're in, is where these people are really living that life.
They were until he, like I'm saying, like the FBI, you're right until the Duck situation happens. Because everybody that was involved with that Duck situation happening are the last people that were, from when we were kids, can be traced back to Dirk for real. And then his brother died. And then that's the last of really the people that we know as OTF and, you know, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a different thing now. He might love the block the same, but he might not love these kids the same way as he loved the people he grew up with. Because all the people he grew up with,
he's famous now. He's not in that
Yeah,
life.
He's famous now. Like, yeah, to a certain point, I feel like once his brother died, he's famous now.
Shit, I would hope so. But, and just, I mean, just the, I mean, literally just, and it would be different if he wasn't coming with back-to-back tracks about it. Like you said, it's so, like, literally, like, right now, people are literally waiting for, because after the Quanarana shoot, they're waiting for Dirk to,
say something.
To say something.
Because it's just a, but that's when you play into things, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he won't, I don't think he will. He's smarter than that. With all the things going on with Thug and all of them, he'd be stupid to say something.
So yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing. Like, no matter, like, I just don't see him being that dumb. But you know what I'm saying? That's the same thing we say about every rapper
mm-hmm.
till they get caught up.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we say about every rapper. Because look at Fetty Wap right now. Fetty Wap right now is about to have to sit down for a mandatory 5. Are you familiar with the situation?
Yeah, with his drug trafficking?
Yeah, so he, last October, it was found out that Fetty Wap was either being directly the distributor, the redistributor, or the financer for the redistribution of large amounts of essentially heroin, fentanyl, just not weed drugs in New Jersey. It was a RICO case, actually. I remember talking about this and saying that they're not getting rappers on just, oh, there's a bag of weed in your car. Oh, you got a gun in your car. No, they're going to let you get away with that and then build the case and break you down. And that's what they did to Fetty Wap, because right now he had to plead guilty. And with him pleading guilty, he's going to do a mandate. He's facing looking at a mandatory 5 years. 5 years.
I mean, I wouldn't blame. If Fetty Wap was steaming hot, then I would blame him. But the fact that he's not steaming hot, you can't even blame his positioning for real.
You can't fight a RICO with no matter money. Like, no matter how hot you are, you can't fight the RICO. Like, a big point of Thug's RICO is they're freezing all his outwards accounts. So nobody he knows has money anymore. You know what I'm saying? So now venues are suing him because he's not showing up for breach of contract.
Mm-hmm.
So then he can't pay that out. So who do I pay? Do I pay this promoter that I owe $150,000 to?
Yeah.
Or do I pay my lawyer who might be able to get me out in a minimum of 10 years? You know what I'm saying? No matter what happens, you're going to go broke. So Fetty Wap here, 5 years for a guy who's, I'm not going to say Fetty Wap's cash broke or material broke, but for a guy who's not doing world tours, putting out music that's necessarily hot at the time, what's 5 years? You don't have to pay taxes. You didn't think about having to pay taxes on the house. That, you know what I'm saying? You've been in this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But and that's the point. That's what I really don't blame Fetty, because he went so high up and so far down that he probably just trying to get back up.
I don't blame anybody for taking 5 on something like that.
Oh,
on be calling a kingpin, on essentially being called a kingpin and only having to take 5.
Yeah, on heroin and shit like that, yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? On FinPack, especially as hard as they're going on the FinPack. And this is just another thing that goes to show that once you get a little bit of money, they're going to be looking at you.
Yeah, duh.
Because it's only him and 2 other people that end up are in this section of the RICO or whatever that took charges.
How many?
Three of them. It was him and two other people, from what I read.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, they were just fiending to get him there. Yeah. Three people?
Well, they probably just had... All right, so imagine coming to Prince George with $30 million in your pocket or bank account at one point, right? Yeah. Imagine say you want to do drugs or want to sell drugs, and so I pick two people. You would flood the market how easy?
Yeah, but that's just...
You get the best gas, sell it for this, for the lowest prices, like literally...
But what was it worth, though? What was it worth?
The money.
5 years?
A lot of people think, I mean, 5 years is not a lot for what he, it was worth it. I mean, for the money he probably made off that, as opposed to the money he lost from the Miss Royalties and shit, from his career. Because you got to think, Atlantic took his whole fucking, all his demo tapes, mixed them together, polished them up, and put out songs he had already wrote, produced, promoted, and just put them out as a project that went fucking multi-platinum and won Grammys, if I'm not mistaken.
But this is where rappers with these charges need to realize they need to better find a better side activity. Not T Grizzly streaming, looking great.
Yeah, amazing.
Could you see T Grizzly catching a Rico anytime soon?
Yeah.
How?
Cause I mean, money, having a lot of money. I can see anybody with a lot of money accidentally funding something illegal. Like, look at Jeffrey Epstein. It don't matter who you are, no matter how much good you're probably funding something illegal if you got enough money. Because that's more money. Yeah, more money under the table you ain't got to pay taxes on.
Yeah, that is a deal. That is a deal. Because like you said, you're at that point, you're just flipping money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Millions, not hundreds of thousands, millions.
Yeah. You see, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's why they're getting them. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because they're literally flipping untaxed $1 million in the street.
Yep. Just cash money.
Damn, you're probably going stupid.
Yeah, cash money.
Yeah.
Because you don't launder that. That's cash money. But to wrap up, I know you've heard about this Brittany Griner situation, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about this situation just in general? Because we on Simple Math, we've said multiple times that she was dead wrong for going over there. Like, when you're in Rome, play as the Romans, do as the Romans. You can't go to somebody else's land, break the laws, and not expect to be punished like they would be punished. Mm-hmm. One. Two, the American government is dead fucking wrong for saying she's unjustly punished and free her when they have millions of black people or just people of color or just anybody locked up over simple drug or weed charges. You know what I'm saying? That they didn't let go once weed started to become legal in multitudes of states. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay, yeah, but the Americans, of course, are going to say that this is politics.
Yeah.
But for her to get caught, that just sucks, though. Like, yeah, she's in the wrong, yeah, and all that, but just putting myself in her shoes, that's sickening.
What do you
mean?
That's
sickening. Just, like, it's just so, yes, it's the rules.
That would happen
even if she knew. If I knew, bro, I would, like you said, why would you even test that?
Exactly.
Why would you even test that? But that's still terrible, though.
It's terrible for her, but it's not what she deserves, because nobody deserves to go to jail for weed, but... You know what I'm saying? You can't go somewhere else and break someone. Like, fuck. Yeah, what? There's a country that just decriminalized gay sex. You know what I'm saying?
What country?
I want to say it was Thailand. Not Thailand. It's one of those Southeastern Asian countries. Maybe Taiwan?
Yeah, but what? Why do you say that?
I'm saying that to say that in America... Gay sex itself has never been illegal. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Say what? What are you talking about?
Meaning that countries have different laws. Like, if you go to a country where, like Taiwan, where they have really restrictive laws, where to the point that gay sex isn't even legal, you think weed's going to be legal? Why would you test that shit?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying?
No. Like, is that not mind-blowing? They don't even let people fuck each other for their own will. And you think you about to just smoke weed over here?
People, it's not even that. Like, it's literally just different rules in general. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, just different rules in general. It's not even or we don't, because like I said, we probably do crazy shit that they probably think is crazy too. Wilder's a bitch. So it's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong and who's doing all the right shit. Like I said, everybody's picking and choosing. Literally, everybody's picking and choosing rules. The laws are just picking and choosing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So there's no master key to tell you, hey, this is actually what's wrong. This is what's going to have the best success. This is what's going to have the least success. But that goes into a deeper conversation to just...
Laws of the land.
No, more the laws of the lands of... How nations are not led by philosophers, just led by regular people. So like I said, there's still
not always true.
What land would you say is literally led by philosophers?
In modern society, you're right.
Yeah.
In modern society, you're right. But in ancient society, philosophers were viewed more as...
Politicians.
As politicians, mm-hmm. enlightened, more or less, nutcracks. Because now, and see, a lot of the problem with philosophers from back then were that they were able to have the podium of the academy.
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge, and this is another conversation, but knowledge has become so far out and so spread that technically everybody's a philosopher now, because everybody has enough information or enough access to information that they can develop abstract ways of thinking. Whereas before, in ancient times, where you look at Socrates, Plato, Nostradamus, all these guys, they were the only guys that had access to books. Like they're where they lived and where they visited were the only place in 300 miles that had any sort of book.
And reading was a big thing. Yeah. But what I say that difference
it still is reading still is
the difference. But the difference in that is just like, for me, I think it's there's a difference between reading something and being able to regurgitate it and actually having a genuine original thought.
But
and that's what separates a lot. Like you said, anybody can go read a book and just recite the book to you. But when I think philosophy, it's just like, of course, way of thinking, but like how, like new ways of thinking. Like it's about fresh thoughts. Like I said, it's just, it's easy to repeat, but it's hard to create. And that's
everybody,
what people
don't do. I feel like everybody has personal philosophy. If you have an inner monologue, you have personal philosophy. It's just the bridge of being willing to share it. Like everybody has a new idea or a fresh or out there idea. It's just whether you're willing to share it. Like let's say we're all going around and making jokes, right? And we're all making pretty safe jokes. And somebody makes a joke about kicking a baby. You know what I'm saying? That's the fresh idea, but it might be the best idea in that scenario. That might be the best joke in that scenario, but they're afraid to share that. And that's different now because, like I said, we have these things in our hands that these are libraries in our hands. Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever had this much information ever in human society. So right now, everybody's a philosopher. It's just who's willing to share it, and once it's shared, who's willing to adapt it. And that's always been true, because there's been failed philosophers for all of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who adapts your thinking.
And that's what I'm telling you, yeah. But there's a difference between the library that we have in our hand and people are reading, and the people that are put in the library in your hand.
No, because what do you mean the people that are putting the library in your hand?
And that's what I mean.
We create the library now.
What do I mean by that?
The public creates the library.
What do I mean by that? Yeah, but the library is so general, and like I said, it's opinionated. I'm talking about as in who's creating new thoughts. So, for instance, if you go
everybody,
and you type
social
in
social media.
Yeah, I'm talking about as in like
new thoughts are thought tanks now. New thoughts are thought tanks now, and that's beneficial. I will say that's beneficial to society because everybody gets a say. So if you put a dumb idea in, everybody gets to say, shut the fuck up. If you put a great idea in, everybody gets to say, yay. So it's not just one person say, here's a good idea, here's a bad idea. It's the general public who have access to the knowledge because third world, like only 2.8 billion people, I think, are on the internet, whereas there's, 8 billion people going to become November in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So a quarter of the world, if you get on there and you are saying something, no matter what it is, and people are saying, boo, boo, you suck, then your philosophy might not be right. You know what I'm saying? It probably, I'm not saying it's not right, but it probably isn't right because now you have a lot of people with a lot of information with a varying degree of comprehension of that information, so then you can get a legitimate feel as to what people are actually thinking, what people are actually feeling, and how people will actually act.
And this is the danger behind social media, and this is why people think like that. People don't realize how many bots are on social media, it's extreme. Social media is extremely, matter of fact, I'm going to get you right now, is extremely persuasive. And let's actually move on to that. And by extremely persuasive, I mean like, you can go on social media and like you said, people cannot agree with you and downvote or whatever or upvote or whatever, but it's persuasive. It's bots. It's kind of, they're picking the opinions for you. And look at Andrew Tate, for example. That's a prime example. Andrew Tate, regardless of what he's saying is right or wrong, now on social media, they are blocking voices. So now it's so persuasive that having a stake in social media is damn near currency now.
Well, no, having a public voice, and see with the Andrew Tate thing, you're saying like blocking him off, having a public voice and having a public voice that seemingly malicious being censored is not a new idea. And the thing with him is not, it is what he's saying, but it's more or less the audience. It's not what he's saying. Because if you're unfamiliar, Andrew Tate has been going around saying he's like the biggest misogynist, racist. So he's been making pretty much 11, 12-year-old fucking suburban white kid jokes on the internet, making it popular again, if you're familiar with my generation. And the thing about this is he's been kicked off of all social media, essentially, or it's happening because his audience is children. It's not because it's adults. It's because it's children. When you just spread things that are generally found as malicious, no matter what side of the fence you're on, when you're spreading that to only children, that's poison. If he would say the same thing and put it in an adult audience, adults are mature enough, and even if they're not, if you're not mature enough to think it's satire or think it's a joke or whatever, you know, however he wants to play it, that's your fault for being a stupid adult. But you can't let somebody go on a children's platform, which is essentially TikTok, and spread these ideas against or amongst kids that are 12, 13 years old, who are the most impressionable kids on the earth. These kids are sponges. At 12, 13, you think you're a sponge. At 5, 6, yeah, you're a sponge because you can learn your ABCs. But at 12 or 13, you can learn to hate black people. You can learn to hate white women. You know what I'm saying? And really know what it means behind that. You really know what it means to hate a sub-genre of people. But when you're an adult, like Andrew Tate, if he was spilling this on late night Showtime or late night HBO, or, you know what I'm saying, who would give a fuck? You know why? Okay, it's not going to kids.
And this is what I'm saying. That's kind of where back. That's, I love how this conversation is evolving. Because even back to where it goes from Twitter being so persuasive, you're saying that, oh, well, he can't be on. He can't be on children's platforms like TikTok spewing this narrative to kids. He doesn't even have a TikTok.
He doesn't have it anymore because it just got banned today, Noah.
No, I don't think he's ever had
TikTok. No, he did. He just got banned from TikTok, yes, today. And he had a thing called Harvard University where he was telling people essentially how to be cool, selling packages to kids on how to be cool. That was just a pyramid scam. And then the Romanian police raided his mansion on allegations of sex trafficking.
Oh, he's wild. You know what I'm saying? I'm not debating that. I'm just talking about as far as narrative driven by social media.
I know what you're saying. People create the narrative because he is this wild guy that everything he says needs to be omitted. But everything he says needs to be omitted from these platforms because children have such easy access to him, and he's marketing it to children. It'd be different if he was not marketing it to children. If he put an adult 18 plus, I'm a real man, and this is a real man's thought. This isn't for not little boys.
He's actually spewing, I'm agreeing that he's spewing bullshit. That's not what I'm saying.
That's not what we're arguing. We're arguing the fact that he's targeting the bullshit to kids. You can... No. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I think that this is what you got to realize.
That's his main audience.
Any grown person is not going to take Andrew Tate seriously. No, it's comedy.
Exactly. We understand that. No grown person will. No grown person will take Andrew Tate seriously.
Okay.
But when you have platforms and when you're a content creator, you can look at your analytics and you can look and see how old people are that look at your content. And it has come back and it's verified that his content is of that like 12 to 18 range. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And those 18-year-olds, those are adults. You know what I'm saying? Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when in that lower tier, you're pushing that bullshit to children. We know the adults have curbed them completely. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The adults, like we said, we're smart enough to know that it's bullshit. But who are we to tell our little cousin that's not bullshit if that's his favorite YouTuber? You know what I'm saying? And even though that's not how people should raise their children, that's how it comes out. And so you've got to stop people like that.
Very familiar argument, huh? But and that's why I said that's kind of what that is literally what I would say I guess a liberal agenda has been on social media in general. Like you they, that's what they do. They spew you the same narrative over and over, just like Andrew Tate was. The only thing they're doing is blocking any opposite narrative.
No, it's not.
So it's a whole bunch of bullshit on the internet.
It's not
the internet is full of. Yes, I'm gonna tell you what.
Because look at Dan Bilzerian.
Let me finish.
He does the same thing, but way smoother. He's a misogynistic, racist, homophobic, way smoother, and people still champion him. He's still
They're gonna get him soon.
But he know he's not. He gets too popular. He still has his platform. He was the most popular social media person like 2 years ago. He made the most money off social media 2 years ago. Dan Bilzerian is one of the top media personalities pretty much of the social media age, and he does the same thing, but he doesn't do it as crass, and he doesn't target it to children. All his shit is for adults. Like you can, it's a difference to like what did you say, the you're so G, like you saying that to kids is way different than going to the casino and saying I just bought fucking $500,000 worth of alcohol, I got $250,000 worth of escorts coming back for me. That's only something a man can do. But saying you're so cool for having three girls—that's something.
It's all spewing bullshit. That was the point.
You're allowed to spew
category.
Bullshit.
What
it's
I'm telling
okay
you, it's
to
not,
spew bullshit as long as it's not directed to children. That's the only thing.
And that's what I'm saying. He's not on fucking Nickelodeon, trying to give them top G speeches. Like you would have a point if he was doing that.
Kids don't watch Nickelodeon.
Huh?
Kids watch
YouTube.
Kids watch shit that.
So I'm telling you, absolutely, that's what I'm telling you. So the same platform, and this is my point to you, is that the, every platform that what's his name,
Andrew Tate
is on, there you can find plenty more bullshit.
Oh, of course,
of constant creators. So what I'm saying is, it has nothing to do
it's
with.
It's about having a platform.
It's about him having
you
a.
You can't. Okay.
Not to children.
But you can't have. You can have a platform, but you can't. You can't go from Big Brother MMA fighter, which is both adult entertainment arenas, and then transfer that to essentially becoming a Chad for kids.
But that's what I'm saying.
He's PC principal.
And.
Imagine if your 23-year-old frat brother, long-term substituted for your class, and all your friends started looking up to him. That's exactly what Andrew Tate is. Like, this guy doesn't need to be a substitute.
He's absolutely ridiculous. He's a fucking comedian. Like, he's literally a joke.
But it's
like,
only,
he's a joke.
Of course. But
like,
it's
he's literally, but what I'm telling you, I don't think that, like I said, I don't think that, and the reason why I say you can't say that he's direct, let's say it gets to a point where people start driving narratives about things that are going on, like he's not. I see kids are part of his demographic.
I think they're a major part.
I don't think
they are a major part. That just goes to reflect from numbers and everything. Kids are a major part of his demographic.
Kids are going to be a major part of any demographic that's on the internet.
Not disproportionately.
On the internet.
Look at Joe Rogan. Period. Joe Rogan is the biggest guy, and he's what 25 to 40 is his biggest age range.
Joe Rogan's an anomaly.
Joe Budden's
an anomaly.
18 to 30 is
Joe Budden's an anomaly, and that's podcasting. Andrew Tate's podcasting is definitely probably the same thing as a Joe Budden.
But look at UFC,
anybody like that.
Look at UFC. That's 18 to 30. That's 18 to 50. Like 18. That's Andrew Tate's basis.
What 18 to 50?
UFC fighting, 18 to 40-year-old men. Still not children. That's what I'm saying. Like you bring it back to you win for. It's not like if Aiden Ross.
Oh, yeah, Joe Rogan. That's what you're saying.
You know, Joe Rogan
is not. I didn't get what you were saying. Okay, yeah, Joe Rogan's not. Joe Rogan's, like I said, anomaly. So I would have to compare him to one of his peers. Joe Rogan is not Andrew Tate's peer. One of his peers, I would say, would be, man, to find an Andrew Tate peer,
Brendan Schaub.
I want to know who that is. Let me think of someone. Well, I would know.
Brendan Schaub's one of the biggest.
He's not Andrew Tate.
He's an MMA guy turned personality. And they're both on the same level.
Here you go. I got you right here. Put in the comment section. Do you know Brendan Schaub? What is his name?
Brendan Schaub.
Brendan, whatever his name is. Do you know him or do you know Andrew Tate more? Just put it in the comment section.
Him or Andrew Tate. If people are watching the podcast, they probably know Brendan Schaub more.
That's what
Brendan
I said. Schaub was on Flagrant. Put it in the comment section.
Brendan Schaub was on Flagrant. Brendan Schaub has been on Joe Rogan multiple times. Brendan Schaub is a UFC fighter. Brendan Schaub records out of WTF Studios. Mm-hmm. Brendan Schaub is actually really big. Like him, he's on Tiger Belly. They said that they had the biggest podcast beef that wasn't a black podcast beef this year so far.
And that's where I think... Not as far as long term. I think that's where you're getting confused of Andrew Tate's buzz. It's way bigger than that. Way bigger than that. Andrew Tate's name is everywhere.
It's getting cut, but everywhere. It's getting cut off.
It's so matter before that. That's what I'm saying. It's so bad they're cutting him off.
It's not bad. It's not like he's It's not like he's doing something monumental. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. He's just getting cut off because he's going... It's not because he's getting cut off because it's bullshit. He's getting cut off because he's directing bullshit to kids. It's okay to direct bullshit to adults because adults have a certain level of discernment that children do not. And that's people's problem with
Have you seen Speed's fucking content? He's a child. Have you seen Aiden Ross content?
They're kids marketing
it's
the
even
kids.
Worse. But they're it's kids even worse. But like, you can't say that.
Women. I'm not. I'm gonna. If a woman doesn't want to have sex with me, I'm gonna do the R word. You know what I'm saying? They're not saying that. Andrew Tate has said shit like that. You know what I'm saying? In the name of jokes, it's the fact that the people that are watching these jokes are kids. That's the only problem. If he was making these to adults have discernment.
That's narrative driven, I think, in my opinion. I think that's completely narrative driven. Because like I said, you go on TikTok, Twitch, and find some really crazy dumb shit. Matter of fact, cam fucking girls on Twitch, that's literally the same concept. Like, there are kids on Twitch, and they're allowing that. Like,
no, it's not. It's not allowed. It's supposed to not be allowed. That's
a category for
it. Yeah, that RRL
There's
shit.
A category for it on Twitch.
But let's circle back real quick, because we did miss something.
We missed.
And that's Dennis Rodman.
I'm weak.
Bruh. All right, so this is the most bizarre shit ever. Dennis Rodman, who we know has Dennis Rodman has more hookups to foreign powers than most presidents do. He's one of the only people that Kim Jong-un was willing to talk to because they love basketball. They love the 90s Bulls and shit like that, so he got to go over there. And somehow he got permission to go over to Russia and talk to their government about freeing Brittany Griner. We were talking about Brittany Griner earlier and how she was in Rome and didn't play as the Romans. But America, or the world, is turning such a like fill in the blank Mad Lib story that Dennis Rodman might actually be the only person that has a legitimate chance of going over there and freeing her.
Which is even more wild. It's what's so crazy. Like, I'm not sure if I'm like,
that's fucking ridiculous.
No, when Donald Trump entered presidency, yeah. At that point, I knew shit was just weird. Like, is that even a hey Donald Trump? Like, just simple fact that he went from a celebrity to being the president is just like, wow.
Yeah, it's wow. At this point with the news headlines, somebody just has a dice of words and they're just like shaking them out. And whatever comes out, that's what happens. Because never in a million years would you have told me that the one person that America was going to allow to go to Russia, when Russia's in war, when one of Putin's top, like, advisor guy's daughter just got bombed to death, that they're going to send over...
The guy from 2K.
With the rainbow hair.
No fucking cap. No cap. That's sick work. That is crazy.
This is the America. This is the world we live in. Because I would like to, like, you know, box this off to America. But this is no cap the entire, just this is the world we live in.
Yeah. Yeah. There's literally laws for war. It's like it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Unpredictable. Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to be able to get her out? And you know what the wildest part about it is? I think he will.
Putin is a hardcore
motherfucker.
Dude. Yeah, he's a hardcore dude. I don't know.
Dennis Rodman could do it.
I'm surprised they even let her out in 9 years. No cap.
I mean, but that's what they would give one of their citizens. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. That's what's even crazier. To the point where they're not even OD and they're not even stepping the boundaries.
Yeah, nah. Like, you know what I'm saying? They just acting by the lands, our laws of the land.
Yeah, straight up fair trial, too.
And now they got Sheriff Rodman coming over.
The guy from 2K. Trying to super end. The guy from fucking 2K. Fuck, that's crazy.
The American government is sitting over a basketball star. I mean, shit, I guess they said they're not willing to risk LeBron James.
Yeah, fuck no.
They
fuck
said if Dennis Rodman died, at least we get to do a tribute or something.
Something, yeah.
They can't kill LeBron.
No cap.
Black community would go crazy if they killed LeBron like that.
What would happen if they took LeBron instead? What would genuinely happen? What would they say?
Oh, no, they would definitely, the Russian government would definitely not let them come back. They would capture LeBron and hold him hostage.
Oh, yeah, forever, probably.
Yeah.
Forever and a day.
That shit would be no joke.
Remember when LeBron got captured? But yeah, that would be crazy. Yeah. That would be crazy.
Yeah. That would be beyond crazy. Like, LeBron, he's not making it out because, not because people don't love him, but he's not making it out because, why would the Russian government let LeBron James out?
Never. Why would they? Exactly.
Exactly.
They're not.
Well, man, I appreciate you for joining me this week on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to be back on another week, man. Another week.
Say, yeah, my voice won't be lost. We had a really fucking good conversation this week, and I really appreciate you for coming through, filling in. Anything you want to plug real quick before we sign out?
No, I'm good.
All right, y'all. Well, y'all stay tuned for the end of this episode of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr. I'm joined by my blood brother, Noah, and we are signing out for right now. Peace. And we are back, or rather, I'm back. This your boy, Mr. AKA Super-All-357, best known as Prince Godbody. And I'm back to end this episode of the podcast of Simple Math Matrix, presented by Simple Math Matrix. I don't know why I'm fucking up everything lately. I guess I should just come up with new intros or something, or outros, or who knows. Look at me clearing my throat, pulling a Noah. Hold on. All right, had to check the technique real quick. I'm back. Let's go. I'm ready. And I'm really ready because finally it's seeming like Joe Biden is going to do something for his constituents. If you aren't aware, Joe Biden is announcing that he'll be clearing $10,000 worth of debt for federal lenders or loaners, rather, federal loaners who... No, lenders. Why am I fucking up? Let me start this whole clip over. I am fucking up this entire night, rather. Thank you, babe. Thank you. Joe Biden is supposedly going to excuse up to $10,000 worth of student loan debt from federal lenders. And this is something that, honestly, Biden as a president, where his constituents and the people that voted for him are really out of his, like, they don't believe in him. Nobody believes in, it's sad as it is to say, very little of the truly progressive left part of the political spectrum truly believes in Joe Biden. So for him to do things like this, which is essentially giving people $10,000, but in like, convoluted credit way, it is a good idea, but it doesn't really do much when housing is still extremely expensive. Food is extremely expensive. I'm not saying that excusing student loan debt does not help. It definitely does, especially when it does come to your credit and how that impacts your credit score, especially when it's federal loans. And if you hadn't been paying them back, maybe they had been levying your taxes against you, things like that. So, yes, it's going to help there. But in the grand scheme of things, this is really a way to start a cycle to put money back into the economy, because realistically, a lot of people of my generation went to college, did not finish college, or finished college and didn't get a job in the arena where they went to school for. So they're just paying back money that they essentially wasted. And for a lot of people, $10,000 is only going to be a portion of their debt. But when you take away that debt, that increases that credit score, that those type of things, that has you in a more prime like position to buy things. This is all really a thing to get people to buy things by making them think that they're getting away with not having to pay for school. Because the concept of free education or lower cost education is something that's like on the premise of the left agenda so heavy that if you want to be a leftist representative, you have to endorse those type of things. So I guess I wish I had, you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying over there? Do you agree? You can speak up. It is, because I think mentally, if anything, it's more helpful. Just to know that you don't owe somebody $10,000 is a great fucking feeling when you did owe them $10,000. So yeah, I do agree with you on that. And financially, I just don't feel like clearing only $10,000 worth of debt for people that only make under $125,000, that's, I mean, what can we do but put Band-Aids on things? Because that's what I'm thinking, is all we're doing is putting a Band-Aid on the situation. But, I mean, the student loan bubble is going to crash, and it's probably going to crash very soon. I feel like this is really just a sign of that more than anything, that soon enough this won't, student loans won't be a thing. I think the American government, they've had enough time to tell that this is not going to be a fruitful endeavor for them. And that's just kind of my outlook on the situation. It's a good and a bad thing. You just can't take it all as a monolith, as with anything. It's just kind of what I say. And speaking of doing good, or doing good to do bad, or maybe doing bad to do good, currently Colombia is going, or thinking about, or seriously considering, or man, Colombia's finna be the wild, wild Southwest, because the Colombian government is on pace to decriminalize cocaine in Colombia, which is, if you're smart and you see and you read and you know any type of history, it's a direct combatant to the drug war they've tried to fight in their country. Because in their country, in Colombia, it's actually a drug war, because the drug cartels and the drug kingpins control the country. In America, it's a drug war because it's a way to establish and popularize infrastructure, meaning your police departments, your federal departments, things like that. It's not really about people not doing drugs or selling drugs or anything like that. It's literally about bolstering your infrastructure. But over there, with them doing something like this, being the home of Pablo Escobar and all these great cartels and such, it's, I feel like this is going to be one of those things that, yeah, it seems cool now, but this is definitely going to be one of the things that conservatives and xenophobes are going to be able to almost verifiably use to try and keep people out of the country. Just for the simple fact that if cocaine, which is something that's criminalized here, widely popular, even widely popular among the people who are criminalized it, it's something that's widely popular but illegal here. So the money from it comes off the illegality, but all of that illegality and the money that would come from would also come with illegal immigrants. So I don't know if any, this is going to definitely help Colombia as far as the bloodshed and just not trying to track down these guys, not having their forces actually pursuing cartels. Like, I don't give a fuck what you say. Going to police academy does not train you to fucking take on a cartel. When somebody like that, it's just not possible. I just don't understand. We've seen what's going on in the in Southern America or South America for years now, for decades. And it's a different ball game because I stated before, those cartels run those places. So they're even more highly trained than the actual infrastructure law enforcement themselves. This whole thing down in Colombia is about saving lives more than it is. It's about saving lives of innocents than it is about users or people using or anything like that. This is about just stepping out of the cartel's way. This is something we're going to look back in history and be like, yo, what the fuck happened here? Is what I truly feel like. But I digress, you know. Motherfuckers have to, you know, some things change, some things stay the same. Some people go back and forth with their mind, you know, they can't change. They can't really, you know, decide what they're going to do. And honestly, that's been the case with Kevin Durant and the Knicks. It's come out that the Nets. The Nets and Kevin Durant will be staying, they'll be continuing their business partnership, as the Nets put it, throughout the 21-22 season. Oh, no, it's 22 now. Golly. 22-23 season. And this is just like what happened with Kobe, where back in like 07-08-ish, he was going back with the Lakers, back and forth with the Lakers organization. Get me the fuck out of here. Thought he was going to be in Dallas for a while, end up not happening. He comes back, finish his career there. But the big difference with this one is we saw, and if the tabloids are true or not, they probably are. We will say they are, just for the sake of this argument. We saw Kevin Durant make a bunch of demands that the Nets ownership was not willing to concede to. And Joe Tsai from the very beginning pretty much said that, I'm going to believe in my coaches and my staff before my players. I want to build a team. And he reiterated that. And I feel like, honestly, the big person in this story is not KD. It's Joe Tsai and how he really is running his team. And in the era of divas and in the era of sports divas and the era of the NBA where the entire market has collapsed for players after this Rudy Gobert trade and KD holding out, as an owner, you have to put your foot down and say, all right, at a certain point, y'all can't just use us for a jersey swap a year. Meaning, these guys are heavily invested, and especially a star player like KD, and they probably have had these conversations before you're bought on. We're going to heavily invest in you, not only with our coaching, our team, and our drafting, but financially. These next X amount of years are riding on you. Your contract might be four, but we need you for two, or for two. And it's those type of things that you do at the same time. I hate to be, you know, on the side of the owner, because I'm a fuck the owners, fuck the league. If you don't want to play, don't play type fan when it comes to players. But at a certain point, when it comes to somebody like KD, who is essentially these last few, he's one of the best scorers of all time, but he's also one of the biggest divas of all time with little to show for it by himself. KD, other than an MVP, has little to show for his career. I mean, yeah, scoring titles and all that shit, but championships, rings, Steph, Clay, you know what I'm saying? We got to say it like that because that's just what it really comes down to. KD wasn't driving that bus, and I think now he's finally feeling that in fucking Brooklyn because they don't need a bus driver. They just need amazing players. And that's what he is an amazing player. He's a GOAT. He's an all-time great. But he's not a bus driver. House of Dragons premiered this week. Fucking classic Game of Thrones feel. I'm not going to really spoil much. I'll wait for Nate to get back. Talk about it. That's all I really got for y'all this week. All I can say is make sure to catch us on all social media platforms. It's all Simple Math Matrix, SimpleMathMatrix on all platforms except for Twitter, which is Simple Math MTRX. That's at SimpleMathMatrix. Make sure to like and subscribe to this video if you're watching on YouTube. And that's all I got for y'all. And I'ma say, producing by myself this week. Peace.